Hello today and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. My name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of the podcast. Today's podcast is going to be a lot of fun because I am talking to Sue Gong, who is a seminary trustee in Madbury, New Hampshire, and she's relatively new to this position. She did have to run for it, so we'll let her tell us all about it and what kind of inspired her to get involved in her community. So Sue, I'm so happy to have you today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy. I've heard a lot of great things about you, so I'm excited for our conversation. So would you, to start out, just introduce yourself and maybe tell the listeners a little bit about your position and how you got involved in it?
I am a cemetery trustee in Madbury, and I had been listening to the formulation of Project Elect and thought it was a great idea. And I've really, my daughter and my daughters are involved in the community and service in a larger way than I was. And so I thought that this would be a good thing to try. So I started by volunteering at the polls. And then I was paired with one of the town administrators. And I said, I'd like to get more involved in the community. What do you suggest? And he sort of gave me this very nice overview of the different places that you can serve in the community and what was necessary right now. And he said, why don't you run for a cemetery trustee? We need a trustee right now. And so I did. I called the people who were the trustees and did a little background research. And I thought that being a cemetery trustee would be a great way to get to know people in my community at an open and tender time, because we sell the plots and walk people through the process of burying their loved ones. And I thought that would be a good kind of door opening into getting to know the members of my broader community. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have anybody oppose me on the ticket. I won by a landslide. And was installed a couple months later in my office.
That's the way to run, right? What? Unopposed. That's
unopposed.
I wish we all could do. And you know what? You are the first podcast guest I've had on who said that Project Elect inspired her to run. So I appreciate that. That's wonderful. It makes me feel like what we're doing is making a difference. So thank you for watching and listening and deciding to take some action. That's amazing. I want to know a little bit more about New Hampshire, because I know that you guys have a different way of doing things with town halls and the structure. So how do you have meetings on your board? How does it work? What are your responsibilities as a trustee?
Well, the town is a small town. We just have 1,800 people in our community, and we do have town meetings where we have people vote in public on issues that come before the town. There are three cemetery trustees, and we are in charge of maintaining the cemetery, improving the cemetery, keeping the records up, and selling the burial plots and initiating people into their interaction with the Madbury Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. And I mean that you're right. That is a very tender time for people, and probably you have to deal with a lot of families who are grieving and who are having a hard time. How has that been? What kind of experience have you had? And do you feel like it's brought you closer to your community?
Actually, the life on the ground was different than my vision of what the trusteeship would be. So we have three trustees, and both of the other trustees had been in their positions for some time. And they And so the trustee whose place I was taking had been a trustee for 15 years. And and I thought I would going to take his position, but they thought that that might be a heavy responsibility for a newbie. So mm-hmm. they said, well, why don't you, we'll shift the responsibilities around. And that was kind of disappointing to me because I ended up doing more background work, which was fine. And, but I didn't get to do the interaction with the people who are buying the plots like I thought I was.
Okay.
So it was a real introduction into the sort of on the ground reality of service in the community. It isn't how you imagine it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you imagined you would be talking to the grieving families and selling the plots. What is it that you actually are doing at this point?
Well, our records were in a fairly, I would say very informal state. Mm-hmm. And so the first job I took on was getting all of our burial records and into a spreadsheet and getting it accessible by the other members of the committee. So we all were working from the same page. Uh-huh. And that was an interesting experience for me because I had wanted a sort of automatic, updated, more sort of an e-experience in getting our records. But one of the other members of the committee was very reluctant to update that much. So we did get it onto a spreadsheet, but not into an automatically updated entry format. Mm-hmm. But it can be. So, you know, as soon as she gets used to it, then we can do that. But that was really interesting experience for me to work it with the realities on the ground and doing what you can do. Yeah. My second job was to update our web page. And that was a really great experience because, as usual, I sort of overdid it. But I designed this web page that I was really very proud of. But it needed to be input by our town administrator who was doing his sort of home, he was doing his own personal uploading of the website. So it didn't get done the way I designed it exactly, mm-hmm. but it was such an improvement. And I was able to, I did a little history page. So I went and interviewed the members of the community who had built and raised money for the cemetery years ago and who had designed this little Zen garden. And it was a very tender experience to get that history and to get it up and online for people to see and to honor those people who, I mean, a generation ago, people were just so community minded. And that was really a lovely experience. And the product, I was very proud of the product. It's sort of a little bit of anomaly in the rest of our town website, but that's okay. People can live with that. And people were very proud to see their history and their pictures and their information. And all the information now is digital and accessible to the community. And that's one of the things I've been proud about.
Yeah, it sounds like there's kind of a family history component to what you're doing. You're making sure people can research their histories and updating things, and maybe it'll inspire the rest of the town to update their website.
Well, you know, I mean, to update a website, I did lots of research and found out what was available and what was affordable to us, mm-hmm. because we're not going to budget a lot for it. And so we just did our own rather than buy into. There are systems out there you can buy into for a lot of money. So that was a good experience for me to do that research and then try to replicate some of the best features from the ground up for ourselves. So that was a really good, all of these have been really good experiences. And and sort of helped me see things from a more professionally, which is, uh-huh. I think, what many of us have trouble with when we do service. You know, we come from a church background, so everything is about how people feel and making yourself convenient to everybody. And this is demanding in a different way. And so it's been a learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've definitely run into the slow pace of progress in government and compromise as well. So
one of my first experiences was working with a woman who, I don't know if she didn't understand the structure, but she jumped in and started doing some stuff that we didn't need done. And I needed to be the one to tell her, no, I'm sorry to, you know, I never fired anybody, you know? So it was a real big experience for me to kind of say, I'm sorry, you can't work on this project, and not to worry about her feelings more than getting the job done. And that was unusual and great learning experience.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go back to where you said you started out as a poll worker, because I think that's something we haven't talked about a lot at Project Elect, but it's such a great way to get involved. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience there and how it kind of ended up leading to this?
Well, as I said, I mean, I just signed up and showed, it was during COVID too. So we were doing all these extra precautions, and you just have to show up and stand at your place and guide people to the next place. So we have a lot of community-minded residents, so that we have poll workers. But there was a lot of, even in our little friendly community, there was a division at that time, a political division, and people didn't want a mask, which we were requiring, and they didn't want to go in the door that we asked them to go in. And so that was an interesting experience. But I think the magical part of that experience was I got to work with the town administrator, and then he gave me this one little big picture overview of service in my community, which was a great introduction.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it is, a lot of this is about who you know and who you run into and the contacts you can make. So
I think that's everything. So we are elected for 3-year terms, and I'm in my second year, so there'll be one more year left in my term. And I was talking to the town administrator and telling him, this isn't the complete connection to my community that I had envisioned it being. Where should I jump from here? But I think to do that, you have to be inside the door. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just sit back and pick your spot without knowing and seeing. Being inside the door is where you see the community and who's doing what and where, so you know where to take your next jump. Mm-hmm. I think experience, just there's no substitute for the experience, and it doesn't matter how small the experience starts. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that's so true, that you have to be, like you said, in the door and talking to the people who are running the community, and to find out what positions are needed and available. And it also builds trust with people who can help you get elected into these positions, because they know you and they know you're reliable and will do a good job. So they're willing to help you out. I am happy that you did poll working, because I know there's such a need for poll workers right now. So if there's any listeners who are considering getting involved, maybe they can look into poll working as a first step.
And you don't have to be elected to be a poll worker. And though, you know, the people that are doing that you work with are really the sort of hardcore contributors in your town. And that's really a good place to make connections, start networking. For your next step.
Yeah. And it's temporary. It's not a permanent thing. You can just do it for, you know, however long it takes to get the election work done. And then you're then you're done and you can move on to something else. So it's kind of perfect. I wanted to ask you what experiences you think in your life kind of prepared you to for this role and opened you up to listening to to promptings or whatever it was to get involved and actually run for office, because it's actually a pretty big step. So
well, I've always been a project person, and so when I lived in New Jersey, we had a neighborhood association, and I decided that our playground equipment in our local park was not safe. So I went to the neighborhood committee and got myself on the committee to get new equipment. And so I went beating the bush, doing research in the town for what people wanted and wrestling up a bunch of money. And we did get a new playground out of it. So it's not like, and then when I moved to my current community, I once again got to know my neighbors, and we had several catastrophic experiences that happened to the neighbors. And so I was sort of worked at help. I mean, we had a sad situation where a young man was killed in our block. And when I went to his father and put my arms around him and said, "What can we do?" And he said, "Oh, I want you to put on a funeral just like you did for Linda." Then, so pulling the community together and drawing from my church experience to produce these gathering events, was just great. I said, "Oh yeah, I know how to do that stuff." So I'd had a number of experiences on a smaller level working in my community.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are actually pretty great experiences, and certainly our preparation. And it sounds like your church service, you feel like that contributed a lot to your skill set.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Lord teaches you how to organize, teaches you how to work with people, teaches you how to stay within your limits and maybe too much. I mean, maybe you need to be able to sort of push a little bit more than you do at church. But the church experience is valuable. When my youngest son graduated from high school, I went off and got a doctorate in educational psychology. So I have to say that my training at the instructional psychology department at BYU was very helpful to me in giving me this sort of, I don't consider myself a true computer person, but it certainly gave me a set of skills that prepared me for this experience.
Yeah.
Learning how to design website, learning how to, spreadsheets work, learning how to, those are nice skills to have when you're walking into this. And that's the bag I pulled from to do my two contributions so far.
Yeah, it sounds like what you've been doing has been pretty tech heavy. So that's it.
Yes, compared to I'm not very techie, but compared to the people in my community, I'm very techie.
You're the IT person, huh? That's fantastic. So I just wanted to talk a little bit more generally about public service and community service and why it's important, and what do you think would make a good public servant? What kind of skills and in your experience do you need to be a public servant?
Well, maybe not my skill set. I think you have to have a good set of organizational skills and need to like people. I think with any public service, just liking the people that you work with and that are in your community is is the most important thing you can do. And I think that for those of us who've been at home and with children and working with people, that kind of sensitivity to the people around you is probably the critical skill set. I think I veered off from your question.
Do you want to repeat your question? That was a perfect answer to my question. I mean, if you care for the people in your community and you want to serve them and you have that desire, it sounds like that's the most important thing.
That is, and I think people have such various skills that they may not even recognize about themselves that there's a place for in the community. And I think you may take a few, you know, knocking on the wrong door to get the right place where your skill set and the community needs are matched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly a need for whatever skills you have in your community.
I think there is such a need. It was very tender to me to interview all the people who are now a generation older than I am, the ones who are left, and see how community-minded they were and how so many people gave so freely and joined. They all joined and joined together, and they did all this work for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great stories this woman told me is that she was the town tax collector, and she worked out of her home in those days. And so on the eve of the deadline for the tax collecting, she had had a cold and she was up in her bedroom, and there was somebody in the community who needed to turn in his taxes. So he came and he put a ladder up against her window and climbed up and handed his taxes through the bedroom window so he could get them in before the deadline. That has got to be one of the great stories. And I said, these stories are so fun. They just need to be published. I think that's going to be my next project.
Yes, it sounds like your town might be full of those kind of stories. That's a fantastic story. Wait, I mean, I've run to the UPS before to get my taxes in time, but I haven't had to use the ladder.
You never climbed through your neighbor's bedroom window to or handed them over the seal into the bedroom.
Never had to do that for sure. Oh, that's great. And I like that you're already thinking ahead, that you need to gather these stories and publish them. And, you know, that you've already found something else that you can do.
Yeah, I think it's doing that little project that really gave me the vision of what I'd like to do, because I heard there are so many wonderful people and so many fun and wonderful stories. And, you know, if you read the town history or read the town records, they're so dull and boring, but the people themselves are so interesting. And so somebody needs to write the real version, the people version of the history of Madbury. Mm-hmm. So that's my vision of my next contribution. And I don't even know if there'll be an official place for it. I think I'll need to go drum up support to make myself official. I think you have to be an official to do something. So okay. You can't just say, I'll just go do it. You really need to say, I'm the blank blank and I'm doing this. And then people will come out of the woodwork to support you.
So make
I've
got to
find my position next.
make a position for yourself. That's fantastic. I love it. I love it. So how would you encourage women to get more involved? What would you tell women who are kind of on the border of maybe wanting to be more involved but don't know what to do?
Well, I think mostly women need a little bit of confidence in themselves. And I think the thing that really draws women out of the house over their doorstep is to have a conviction of the crying need for what they can do. And even if people have been home raising kids, when I entered my doctoral program, I was supposed to write a one-page biography, and I wrote a one-page biography about why being a mother at home qualified me to teach in a college classroom and do doctoral level work. They bought into it too. Yeah. And I think that people sell themselves short because they don't realize that they can market their organizational skills, their multitasking skills, the people skills, the training skills that are necessary. And our communities are just dying for those contributions from the people who know how to do it, but don't know they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier how the generation before yours was so community-minded, and that really impressed you. And I'm wondering, how can we get that sense of community back to nowadays? Everyone seems to be very isolated in their own little world, and there's not the sense of community that I feel that past generations had. Any ideas how we can inspire people to be more involved and community-minded?
Well, there's just something about face-to-face. Although, I mean, you're creating a community from Project Elect. I mean, this is a community too. Mm-hmm. It's just very different. But there's just something about your neighbors and that can't be replaced. And I think sometimes we have to turn off the computer and the phone and walk out the door. Although, I mean, the computer is so necessary to do any, and all of my contributions have been, you know, through the computer. So I think we have to take our skills with us, but I think we also just have to walk out the door.
Yeah, yeah. There's a happy medium there. And I think that's why, part of the reason why LDS women are so qualified to do this kind of work because of church.
Yes. I mean,
they are around people all the time, and it's in person in their community, and they just need to take that a step further.
And they need to take all their gathering skills and people organizing skills and feeding people organizing skills.
Yes.
You know, and those are great. That's great training and speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about how a lot of women hesitate to get involved because they don't feel qualified. Do you feel like there's other hesitations that you've run into with women who maybe want to get involved but are hesitating before they take the plunge?
Well, I think Sarah and I have talked several times about, I think one of the best advice I got was from Laurel Ulrich, who's done a lot of really public contributions, although not quite in the way of Project Elect. But she said people need to be willing to start small and not feel like they have to be a state senator. You know, start with being a cemetery trustee, yeah. Or, you know, whatever you can do next. I think that's the hardest thing, is feeling like you have to be something that's way beyond your reach. And I think you just have to do the very next thing that's in front of you.
Yeah, it's a step-by-step process.
And you just get experience. Pretty soon you're much more experienced than you realize. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great advice for women who feel like they don't have a lot of time right now to commit. Because, you know, we have different seasons in our life, we all know as women. But being something small and doing something small in your community is something you can start anytime.
Or it depends on what your time is. Maybe you're a poll worker, and because you can give a day in asynchronous ways, or maybe you have a couple hours a day. To give in certain ways. So I think that, I think sometimes we hold ourselves back. Oh, the other advice I got from Laurel was, don't say no to yourself. Let other people say no to you. Don't say no to yourself. And I think that's great advice.
That's fantastic advice, actually. I need to take that to heart. I think we can be our own worst enemies and censor ourselves before we even get started. So I like that a lot. What's the biggest challenge you feel you're facing right now in your community and in your public service?
Well, is that question, what is my personal challenge or what is my community's challenge? I think all of our communities are stressed right now because fewer people are publicly engaged on a local level. Mm-hmm. With so much news, everybody's always focusing on the national news mm-hmm. and not the local news. And sometimes the local politics makes a much bigger difference to the quality of your life yeah. than the national politics.
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard for us to keep our mind open to the local in today's world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hopeful after COVID that people would turn more to their communities. And I'm not sure that's actually happened, because I think COVID definitely, whatever your politics were, showed you that local government has a pretty big impact on your life.
Oh, yes. And, you know, local newspapers are dying. Mm-hmm. So there isn't that. So I think the big need is to have an old-fashioned flow of local news and opinions by locally controlled newspapers. And I don't know how to make an impact on that problem.
That's a big one.
It's an economic problem, yeah. But I think it's a symbol of the problem we're facing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly is. Well, we are almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you if you had an invitation for our listeners today. Something that a step they can take, or something they could do.
Take a step. Take a step.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's been the theme of our podcast. Take a step today and get involved, even if it's something small like a poll worker. It'll help you on the path, and it'll help you know what to get involved in and figure it out.
Learn somebody's name. Learn somebody's name who knows how your community works, and go talk to them and let them mentor you. Mm-hmm. My son's advice is find a mentor, and let people love to be mentors, and find a good mentor who's doing what you want to do, and let them teach you how to do it.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, Sue, for joining us today. This was really fun to talk to you, and I'm so glad that we got it all worked out. I feel like I've learned a lot today and really appreciate you talking with us.
Thank you. It's been fun to think of this as another challenge I felt like I wasn't ready for. So,
well, it sounds like you were very ready for it, but I'm glad that you're getting involved and have so much great insight on community involvement. It's so nice to hear. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org, and we'd love you to subscribe, rate, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you, everyone.